Suns Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings, Voice of America listeners. I'm Mark Bill Yarborough in for Sonny Young this Thursday. Let's get into the October 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Starting off in the cricket field, the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup starts today in India with England playing New Zealand. Both teams are solid, but the team to beat in this tournament is the host nation and world number one team, India. India plays Australia on Sunday, October 8th. For the World Cup, the 10 teams will play a total of 48 matches for a chance to win cricket's biggest prize. South Africa is the only team representing the continent of Africa. South Africa will play Sri Lanka on Saturday, October 7th for their opening match. We'll have more in the coming days. Now on to football news. FIFA announced that the 2030 Men's World Cup will be hosted by Morocco, Spain, and Portugal to mark 100 years since the first World Cup held in Uruguay in 1930. Three opening matches being played in Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay. I spoke with Moroccan-American comedian and social media ambassador Sofiane Bernouk about what this will do for Morocco, what key takeaways he saw in Doha for the most recent World Cup, and a whole lot more. Let's take a listen.
The 2030 FIFA Men's World Cup will be co-hosted by three countries, Morocco, Spain, and Portugal. As a Moroccan fan, and as mentioned, a avid soccer fan, how do you feel about the news?
Man, it was big news. Morocco fans and everybody from the country was celebrating because it's big to have something like that in your home country. And especially after what they did with, you know, this year in the World Cup, it was just huge, big news, and we're excited, you know, 7 years couldn't get here any sooner.
Absolutely. So they also have the opening matches in Paraguay, Uruguay, and Argentina as well. So what are your thoughts on that? You know, Argentina being the previous winners of this past World Cup, what are your thoughts on it being in South America as well for the opening?
Well, I can understand, you know, it's kind of probably like just, you know, the ceremony of like the champions or the World Cup champions. It would just make it hard for like the normal fan to get there. But I understand when they want to do it like multi countries, that it makes sense. They probably want to celebrate over there and you know, have the fans that from South America be able to attend, you know, and watch a World Cup that could have make it all the way to, you know, Europe and Africa.
No, very valid points, very valid points. The pride of the Atlas Lions of Morocco is sky high, as you mentioned. Interestingly enough, they beat both Portugal and Spain in the knockout phase of the World Cup in Qatar. You were in Doha, Qatar, for the tournament. How was your whole experience of the World Cup for you? Do you think Qatar did a good job hosting?
Man, Qatar did an excellent job just from setting up the mobile homes for everybody's stay. Their services, their transportation services to and from the stadium, their maps, even having an app that shows everything, shows things to do, and they had also events that you could do and watch parties where you could watch it if you didn't have a ticket. But overall, it was just a great experience, and it being in a Muslim country as well, being able to take advantage of, you know, going, you know, the culture and going to the certain mosques and stuff like that, and being able to, you know, see your religion plus sports, it's kind of a beautiful thing. So, and how the hospitality was amazing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think there was also a lot of great perspectives from fans, Western fans that may not be from the Muslim faith, also mentioned, you know, they saw a different side of, you know, of the religion and, you know, just a different perspective than they normally see. How do you think it was, you know, for them, you know, as an American yourself going there, if you weren't, you know, looking at it from the lens of being Moroccan as an American, just what was it like, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning in Doha after a game? What was the feeling like there?
Well, it was just, it was alive, you know, a lot of people were we're out there, still eating, still celebrating. You see people, you know, you see people celebrating their country. And even if their country lost, they're just out there just enjoying. You see people dressed in the traditional clothing. It was something that you know, people already have, like, sometimes a stereotype of going to certain countries or scared to travel in that matter. But when they actually go out there and see it for themselves, it was kind of like killing two birds with one stone. And it was just a beautiful atmosphere, and everybody was like, it was like one big like family, you know what I mean? It was like a friendly competition, you know. Right. If their team lost, they're rooting for the next team. So, and then it's just, you guys all become like you click up and you all become fans, you know. So it was amazing.
Oh, that's great. So now, the World Cup 2026 will be a similar format with the 2031 having three teams co-hosting, right? The U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Now, firstly, before we get into my interesting question, I'd just like to say, how difficult do you think it's going to be for fans to, let's say, follow their team? If my team is playing in America, in Chicago one day, and then they have to travel to, I don't know, maybe Toronto for another game, do you think the distance is going to factor into a lot of people being able to go to a bunch of different games?
Yeah, I think so, because already World Cup tickets are going to probably be expensive as it goes deeper into the round. And just going from country to country, it's already tough. So unless they come up with a system where, you know, they can have, you know, maybe discounted tickets for people who purchase World Cup tickets. But I think it'll be tough. It'll be tough because it's just country to country, too. And people already, a lot of people don't even travel out of their state, you know? So it's like, it's hard for people to go country to country. But I think if you pick and choose the best games you want to go to, or like a favorite match, I think it should all work out.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that they are going to have to come up with, similarly to what Qatar had as like that pass that they had, the World Cup pass that you could just put in your iPhone or your phones, right? I think they're going to have something similar that'll showcase, you know, maybe if you have one ticket or something to a game, maybe, like you said, get discounted tickets on flights to be able to go to and from, something along those lines. But they're going to come up with something to make it accessible. If Morocco and the U.S. magically happen to play either in the knockout phase or the group phase, who are you rooting for as a Moroccan-American?
I mean, you know what they say, home is where the heart is. I gotta go with Morocco, you know what I mean? That's who I went with this year, and that's where I'm from, so I gotta represent, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't blame you, man. The Atlas Lions, man, they're doing good, man, and I definitely expect them to do just as good, if not better, this upcoming World Cup. Lastly, so there's a young man by the name of Lamine Yamal, whose father is from Morocco, but he is a Spanish-born star. He has the option to play internationally for either Spain or Morocco. He's already played for the Spain national side, and he's been the youngest player to score for Spain international. Do you think there is a possibility that this young man, by 2030, could be persuaded to play for Morocco? 7 years from now, he will be 23 years old by then.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen him. He's a really good player. I hope he could play with us. Hope he sees that what we did, you know, last year. So hope he can see that what we can do. If we add him, we can only take it further. And who knows who comes up to from now till then. But I think, you know, he's young. And, you know, there's a lot of influence. And, you know, obviously a lot of people want him. So that plays a big role. But I think he'll probably realize that, you know, he should play for his home country at least once in his life. You know, it's a huge honor to do so. So I think he should definitely take that into consideration.
Yeah, I think he will. You know, Morocco's infrastructure for the game is definitely getting better and better as years go on. So hopefully, man, the sky's the limit. Sofiane Bernouk, thank you for joining us today, brother.
Thank you guys for having me.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Staying with football, the Champions League teams that didn't play on Tuesday got their chance yesterday, and the games were action-packed. They say the Champions League is where the best and the brightest play, and one team in particular showed that yesterday. Newcastle beat PSG, France's League One champs, 4-1. They totally outclassed the Parisian side, which has top football names such as Kylian Mbappe, Ousmane Dembele, and Achraf Hakimi, to name a few. Luckily for PSG, there is a second game against every team in the group. They'll be looking to avenge this defeat when the two teams head back to Paris to play in the coming weeks. Some other notable games were Man City beating RB Leipzig 3-1, Barcelona defeating Porto 1-0, and Atletico Madrid beating Fenerbahce 3-2. Now on to EPL action. Prince Nesta has a wrap-up. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, McBeal. English striker of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka's goal, two penalty strikes from Kai Havertz and Martin Odegaard, and a Ben White header helped Arsenal secure a 4-0 win against Bournemouth on the South Coast. Saka has now scored 5 goals and assisted 2 in 7 out of his last 8 Premier League appearances for Arsenal. He's also scored 22 out of all the 24 teams he has played against in the competition, with Leicester and Burnley being the only exceptions. Here's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta sharing thoughts on his team's performance.
Well, very happy the way we approached the game. Since yesterday, I think the team was ready to play. We knew about the challenge that we had ahead of us against a team that I think they don't have what they deserve in terms of the game that they have played. They don't give you any time. The ball is always under pressure, small ground, very difficult to get out of that. But I think we read the game really well and the right to win it.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta speaking after his team's comfortable victory against Bournemouth in the Premier League. A late injury time on goal by Joel Matip saw Tottenham record a late 2-1 victory over 9-man Liverpool in a fiercely contested Premier League encounter played at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Dutch striker of Ghanaian descent Cody Gakpo had earlier equalized for the Reds following Spurs talisman Son Heung-min's opening goal in the 36th minute. Curtis Jones and Diogo Jota both received red cards during the match. Liverpool previously managed to squeeze out wins with 10 men in their games against Bournemouth and Newcastle United, but unfortunately failed to turn the tide against Spurs. The German tactician Jürgen Klopp shared thoughts on his team's performance.
I don't think there's anything to say about the offside goal. I knew it half-time. In the first moment I thought it's clear on offside, but then it's offside. So you try to think they have a better view at half time. We knew with normal pictures, easy to see. No offside. But I'm pretty sure that whoever did that made that decision didn't do it on purpose. It didn't take extremely long to come to the conclusion. That's a bit strange, but that somebody else has to clarify that. I have nothing else to say about it.
Spurs new boss Ange Postecoglou also shared thoughts on his team's performance.
Yeah, look, we're at that stage. Obviously, you want to be winning for sure, but more importantly, it's about how we're performing. And I thought the start of the game was pretty even, and then obviously they got the red card, and I thought after we scored we didn't handle that too well. in that first half, and you know, we kind of rushed things and didn't play our football, didn't stay calm, and we allowed them back in the game and they got the equaliser. I thought second half was a lot better in terms of just we were more calm and persistent with our football. But then, yeah, when they went down to 9, you know, they obviously, they're a top team and, you know, they've got top mentality. They've been a top side for a while and they made it hard for us. And, you know, we didn't really vary our attacks as much as we could. Having said that, I mean, Allison's pulled off some unbelievable saves. So it's all part of it for us. It's all part of the learning curve of how to deal with something like that.
Then Spurs head coach Ange Postecoglou speaking after his team's win against Liverpool in the Premier League. Champions Manchester City were humbled after suffering a shock 2-1 loss to Wolverhampton Wanderers at the Molineux Stadium. The Citizens had won all of their 6 opening Premier League games this season, but Ruben Dias's own goal and a bending free kick by Hang Hee Chan sealed victory for Wolves. Julian Alvarez scored City's consolation goal. Here's City boss Pep Guardiola.
Congratulations, Wolves. They defend really well. We have our moments. I know counting the last 10, 15 because it was more difficult. We didn't do properly our process to attack a little bit more fluidity, and that's why we struggled a little bit. And just the transitions, Neto was better than us, so they beat us in that situation because we were not disorganized. We were in the position that we could defend well, but yeah, difficult game to play, like we knew it. And they defend really well, and congratulations.
That's Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola speaking after his team's loss against Wolverhampton Wanderers in the Premier League. In another fixture, Joachim Andersen's goal gave Crystal Palace a 1-0 win over Giants Manchester United, who suffered their second successive defeat at Old Trafford this season. The Red Devils have now lost 4 of their last 7 Premier League games, their worst ever start after 7 games in 34 years. The Eagles are currently 9th in the table, with United dropping to 10th. Here's United's under fire boss Erik ten Hag's verdict on his team's performance.
Yeah, very disappointing, of course, when you concede only 3 chances, 3 from set plays, and 1 is in, and it was so affordable. And then we were so often in their half, not only in their half, we came also in the right positions in their half, but then towards the goal, we were poor in decision-making.
That's Manchester United manager Erik ten Hag speaking after his team's loss against Crystal Palace in the Premier League. Ollie Watkins recorded his second hat-trick this season as Aston Villa thrashed Brighton 6-1 at Villa Park. Newcomers Luton Town also secured their first Premier League victory with a sharp 2-1 win over Everton at Goodison Park. Moving on to the French League, French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe and his PSG side were held to a 0-0 draw against lowly Clermont. The Parisians have 12 points after 7 French League games, their lowest start to a season since the 2010-2011 season. French midfielder of Algerian descent Magnus Akliouche and the US striker of Nigerian descent Folarin Balogun both registered their names in the score sheet as leaders Monaco beat Marseille by 3-2. Lille secured a 2-0 win against Le Havre, while Zimbabwean midfielder Marshall Munetsi and French defender of Moroccan descent Younes Abdelhamid netted as Hims beat bottom place side Lyon by 2-0. And finally, in the Spanish Liga, goals from Jose Lu, French midfielder of Cameroonian descent Tchouameni and Jude Bellingham helped Real Madrid secure a 3-1 win against Girona, while Barcelona still remained unbeaten thanks to a hard-fought 1-0 win against Sevilla. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta.
VOA Africa is your trusted source for news, sports, entertainment, and music. Stay engaged with VOA Africa. We love to hear your voice. You can call us 24/7 on WhatsApp and leave a message. Leave comments, requests, or greetings. We may play your message on VOA Africa. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. VOA Africa is always happy to hear your voice. The number again is the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
Making our way over to the basketball court, University of Missouri head coach Marvin Menzies spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye and says there is a need for continuous training of African coaches to update their knowledge in the basketball game. He says this will help the young talent before they come to the U.S., whether it be for college or to go to the next level.
The African coaches do a really good job with what they have to work with. I think some things have changed in recent years, which give them even more access to creditable information to help the talent there in Africa. I feel like reaching out to the internet sources and establishing contacts that they can communicate with now more frequently. I have a lot of relationships that we have phone calls on WhatsApp. And we share information. As you know, we do a monthly clinic online in care of M Squared Academy there in Lagos, Nigeria. So there's resources out there. I think the more and more the coaches thirst and thrive to gain that knowledge, they can find it. And as a result, the younger talent especially can really benefit from the coaches investing in themselves like that.
As a coach with working experience in Africa, do you think African basketball coaches need more training to boost their knowledge?
I do think there's a amount of training that coaches need to go through almost to be just assured that they have the basic fundamental knowledge to be able to give the correct information to the younger players in Africa. I'm not sure what's currently in place there, but I think one of the things I've done and a few of my friends have come over and done clinics and maintained an online Zoom presence where we have monthly clinics with the coaches there, especially the coaches at some of the schools as well as the there's some national coaches that have come over and taken part in the visit. And a lot of the academies in the different regions have come from the north and the south to take advantage of the clinics when we do them. So I just think if they continue to try to make themselves better, obviously the more knowledge they have, the better off the players will be, especially the younger guys who are getting the work early. I think one of the big differences between the American kids and the African kids is just how much training they get at a younger age. I think there's a nice even balance that can be put forth between academics and athletics. And I feel like there needs some initiatives that allow the players to understand that balance and continue to give them the education, because the genetics or the natural talent of the kids in Africa is just phenomenal. And I would hope that they would continue to receive awesome coaching and great instruction in order for them to be successful either there or if they travel abroad.
Coach, what's your take on the standard of the game of basketball in Africa? Do you think players from the continent have given good account of themselves abroad?
There's so many talented young men that have come over from the African continent, especially the Western region of Africa, that have brought their talents to the U.S. and have done phenomenal things and been very impactful into the game of basketball here. I know that there were, I believe, 8 or 9 NBA players drafted that had Nigerian descent just a couple of years ago, and there's several Africans represented in the NBA and even more in the college ranks. And I just feel like there's just so much more potential. I think as the coaching and the training and the development increase in Africa and the different regions, I think you're gonna continue to see this trend. And hopefully one day those particular players will be in a position to give back kind of together. I know there's a lot of camps and clinics that a lot of the NBA guys do, and then they come over and they donate their time and services. But I think they could even be more influential in Africa if they banded together. So that's something that's been in the been on the table and guys have been talking about, from what I understand.
That was Marvin Menzies, head coach of the University of Missouri. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on the phone from Missouri, USA.
On VOA Africa Radio, we let the sound tell you the story. News, sports, science, and entertainment available to you 24/7. Tune in on your local FM stations. We are also available on the medium waves, 909 kilohertz and 1530 kilohertz. Our short waves are 6080, 15580, 4930, 15165, 15580, and 17530 kilohertz. VOA Africa, your trusted source for news and information.
Now over to some American football news. Tight end Travis Kelce's jersey sales have skyrocketed since mega pop star Taylor Swift has been coming to watch him play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Wyatt Grantham Phillips from the AP has more.
Travis Kelce NFL jersey sales get a huge boost after Taylor Swift's trip to Kansas City. I'm Wyatt Grantham Phillips. Taylor Swift's trip to watch the Kansas City Chiefs' Travis Kelce didn't just have the internet talking nonstop. Kelce's jersey sales seemingly skyrocketed after the 12-time Grammy winner was seen in Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday, cheering on the All-Pro tight end. Sportswear and fan merchandise company Fanatics reports Kelce saw a nearly 400% increase in sales the same day that Swift went to watch the Chiefs. Kelce did not speak to reporters afterward, but he was spotted leaving Arrowhead with Swift by his side. Swift is currently on break from her Eras tour. She has always been reluctant to discuss her personal life in public, but rumors about the pop star and the pro football player have been flying around in recent months. Wyatt Grantham Phillips, New York.
And that's a wrap for the October 5th edition of the show. Hope you all have a great day. I'm Muck Bill Yabro in Washington, in for Sonny Young. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on the Voice of America.
Here's what's coming up on Africa News tonight. Ugandan opposition leader Bobi Wine says he is under house arrest after being seized by security officials. And tens of thousands of Cameroonian teachers on today's World Teachers Day protested the killing of several hundreds of their colleagues this year. These stories and more on Africa News tonight.
I'm Nabil Biagio, coming up today on South Sudan in Focus. A rocket strike in the Sudanese capital Khartoum claims 20 lives and injures many. In a United Nations report, calls for an end to media censorship, political restrictions, and attacks on journalists in South Sudan. These stories and more at 16:30 UTC in Juba in 1700 UTC.